check out Rush Collectibles' awesome horror figures, including the first and only Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 figures. For more information, go to rushfigures.com.
Remember, in the course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
I'm delirious. I'm wicked.
Yeah. I think today, since we're doing the Frogman review, you're supposed to say Ribbit.
Ribbit. That's right.
I'm so conflicted. So conflicted because I hate frogs. But we'll see what I think of a man that's a frog. Frog man. So, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Before we get to that, thank you to the wives, all of our listeners, and all of our followers. Speaking of the wives, I know we had mentioned that we thought we would do a wives' rebuttal on this episode. Scheduling conflicts occurred. Couldn't make it happen. Apparently, our wives are just, I don't know, they're busy people, apparently. I don't know what it is. But we feel fairly confident that next week we will get this done. That will be a wise rebuttal. We do know that when it occurs within the next week or two, that it will be about the movie in a violent nature. So yes. There you go. That is the movie that is being, what is it, rebutted, being argued is the gist of it on this show. Before we dive into everything, Ike, did you watch anything?
Well, obviously watched the movie reviewing this week. I watched a lot of Supernatural, so I've caught up a little bit on, not I want to say caught up because obviously it's finished, but I think we're in season 6 now, so we just got past the part where Sam gets possessed by the devil and then goes into the cage with Michael.
Good shit.
Yeah,
it's all good stuff.
It is, but it was very good. Very good season finale for season 5. So, and we're going to watch or start season 6 tonight. Obviously, I've seen it before, but still, it's always fun time rewatching. Other than that, I keep forgetting to mention it, but I'm watching the new season of, it's called Pretty Little Liars. That was the original show, but then they made another show, like a spinoff, and it was called Pretty Little Liars Original Sin. And that has a second season, which is on right now. I don't know what it's called, but I think it's something based off of Original Sin or something like that. But it's really good. It's really good. It comes out on Thursdays on Max.
Good indeed. Speaking of the Supernatural, you know, you talked about season 5 because originally Kripke's plan was 5 seasons. That's what he had the original story ideal. So that was and Kripke quit kind of backed off after the 5th season, let somebody else kind of run the show. So that was those five seasons were pretty much his vision. Wow. Now he did have input beyond that and everything else, but he stepped back as, you know, the hands-on showrunner. He still had his finger in the pie, so to speak. No pun intended for those that know how much Dean likes pie. But anyway, I watched all kinds of shit. I'm not going to go into it. But what I watched leads us to a new segment we're going to do here every episode.
Order up!
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy!
And that's right. For those of you that follow us on social media, you saw the announcement. Every episode now, we are going to introduce you to our cheesy slasher of the week. Now, we're doing this because Ike and I love cheesy slashers. That's kind of our bread and butter, so to speak. That, you know, we've both said slashers are our favorite type of horror. We both have a very strong affinity for cheesy slashers. And by cheesy, We kind of mean, you know, kind of low budget. You know, typically back in the day would have been more of a straight to video kind of release, not a theatrical release, you know, not a huge production company behind it. Kind of one of those, I don't want to say poorly made, but, you know, on a much tighter budget than other movies. And back in those days, you couldn't accomplish as much for less like you can today, right? There's lots more tools now for people for editing and things like that, that are much more affordable. You can see a lot of gap in some of these, but that does not mean they don't have value, that they're not entertaining. And, bottom line is you pretty much watch these movies for the blood, the gore, the kills for the most part. You're not really getting a whole lot of story out of it. And to be frank, a lot of them, the story overlaps. There's just, they kind of all share the thing. Some of them don't even really have there's not a lot of motive behind the story, but, it's all about watching the blood, the gore, the kills, which, like we've said before, makes me chuckle. So we're going to try to introduce you to a cheesy slasher, one that you may or may not have seen. But if you haven't, you should. If you've seen it before, you should revisit it. In this episode, our cheesy slasher of the week is Fatal Games. If you saw on social media, I watched this a few days ago, and I enjoyed it. It was definitely cheesy, definitely a slasher. But the movie was released in 1984 by Impact Films and Media Home Entertainment. It was a straight-to-video release.
Of course.
But yeah. And what's funny is it did receive a TV airing in January 1987. I saw this online and I thought, I went on newspapers.com, verified it in the TV listings. It did indeed have a TV airing in January of 1987. The movie was written and directed by Michael Elliott, starring Sally Kirkland, Lynn Benesick, Sean Masterson, and many more. The movie was originally known as The Killing Touch, was also known as Olympic Nightmare, and the film follows a slasher wielding a javelin, killing off members of an athletic school trying to make the Olympics. Now, Killing Touch was the working title all through production or whatever else, and the title changed after the movie was released. They did a test run, decided to change the movie, the title, and most of the cast and crew had no idea. And there were cases of some of the actors in the film being interviewed and asked about shooting Fatal Games, and many of them were like, I don't think I was in a movie called Fatal Games. I don't know what you're talking about. and that's because they thought it was called The Killing Touch. And this movie was very, you know, kind of low budgety, cheesy or whatever else, and had numerous rewrites pretty much daily that people were having to learn new pages. The one thing that the movie is often cited is people watch it say it's very, very similar to 1981's Graduation Day in concept, which is something you'll find a lot with these cheesy slashers, right? Some of them share a lot of concepts. Fatal Games is your cheesy slasher of the week. We're not going to do a review of it. That's not the purpose of this segment. It is merely to introduce you to this movie in hopes that you will go and watch it going forward. This movie is available out there. Oh, let me look up real quick what I watched it on. I did not put it in our direct notes, but I do have that information somewhere, I think.
I got it for you. Don't worry. I got
there
you back, Jack.
There you go. What is it?
You could watch it on AMC Plus, and according to Google, you can also watch it on the free service Plex.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. So go and watch that. If it's on AMC Plus, that means Shudder. That it's, you know, it's coupled with the Shudder, which so we suggest you subscribe to Shudder and AMC Plus. You're watching that commercial free on that, and plus you're getting lots of other content. You'll get lots of other movies that will probably be mentioned by us in the future. We're strong supporters of both Shudder and Screenbox. We're big fans of both. So go and subscribe to that and watch it. So there you go. Go watch Fatal Games. I mean, you got people being killed by a javelin. I don't want to say it's a surprising ending because it's not, I don't know, not really for me. It wasn't, kind of knew where it was going, but they do the pull the whole red herring, right? Try to get you to think it's one person, but it's not. So a typical slasher stuff in the 80s. So. There you go. First installment of Cheesy Slasher of the Week. Enjoy that as you are ingesting that the next week, hopefully. And give us feedback what you think. Otherwise, what I watched was just a bunch of other low-budget slashers. I've gone down rabbit holes, and I'm not going to list them off because some of these might be future, or probably will be, future cheesy slashers of the week. So I'm not going to say any more than that. Of course, I am continually watching Supernatural as well. Just all the time. Never stop that. So, all right, then. Let's move on to, then, our weekly segment. Horror Hot Take. And this week, we are coming in with a horror hot take. I don't know why I said it like I was Canadian saying horror. Horror. hot take. This is a strong opinion about something related to horror movies. It can be pretty much anything. It is typically Isaac coming in with the heat. Not to say that at some point in time I won't chime in with one, but typically it's Isaac because he typically has several of them queued up, ready to go. Ike, do you have a hot take for us?
I do. I do have a little something for you guys.
All right. Well, as I think the kids say, I don't know if this is the proper usage, but bring the smoke. I don't think that's right, but there you go.
Bring the smoke. I think that sounds about right.
It works enough.
Right. All right. Well, here is my horror hot take this week. A little backstory. I recently picked up a book called Clown in a Cornfield, written by a fella named Adam Cesari. Great book. I finished it just the other day while I was on the beach. It was great. I even picked up the second book, and there's a third book on the way. And when I read the first book, I said to myself, you know, man, this is such a good book. I like it a lot. I think they should make a movie about this. Looked it up, and wouldn't you know it, there's already a movie made about this. It's in post-production. It's going to be released probably in the next year or so. So, cool, right? That's great. Everybody loves that. But I of course, do some digging. I like to do that. You know, I like to be informed about these things and everything else. And something that I ascertained throughout the process of finding out that this was made into a movie was that a lot of people are not very happy with the fact that it is, in fact, being made into a movie. A lot of people who liked the book and who liked the series are coming out in droves on the internet to say that this should not have been made into a movie, even though the movie's not out yet, and that a movie can only aim to worsen the content of the book. So my horror hot take today is that, you know, it is okay to remake or make books into movies. And I think that the general rule should always be give it a shot, right? I guess it might be a hot take in of itself, me just saying the words, give it a shot, you know what I mean? Give it the old college try. But I just feel like a lot of people, especially when it comes to like the book conversion, right? The conversion from book to movie. I feel like a lot of people push the narrative that like you shouldn't do that, right? But if it were not for books, we would run out of content very quickly. You know what I mean? There are only so many original ideas that are generated off of just thin air. So a lot of times, you know, creative people do need to use things like books, comic books, graphic novels, you know, old radio shows or whatever else, some other sort of media to transfer onto film to give us more spooky stuff. So yeah, my hot take is that you should never have that thought process. Like I very rarely say the words you shouldn't think this way. But I think it's super detrimental just to think like, yeah, if you make a movie off of my favorite book, it's going to be awful. I'm not going to give it a shot. Like, come on, give it a shot. I mean, literally, this movie already has Will Sasso in it, so it's going to be good. I love Will Sasso, so.
Yeah, it's kind of peculiar because, you know, books, short stories, et cetera, have been the basis for movies as long as movies have been made. I mean, right. You know, I mean, going as far back, so it's going to happen, right? That's people adapt books and stories. It's always happening, and I would think there's a lot of people that would be surprised of movies they watch, like, enjoy, whatever it may be, would be surprised to know if they were books or whatever beforehand. There's lots of things that I don't think people are aware of, you know, a pre-existing, you know, form of the media or whatever you want to say. Yeah, and I don't, man, I don't get that either. If, I mean, I understand if you're, you know, if you're an avid fan of something. And to me, though, everything that I am an avid fan of, I would love it if they would make a movie out of, right?
Right.
Or they would make more out of. And I'm never going to prejudge it. I'm going to hope for the best. And if I go into it and I didn't enjoy it, I'm like, okay, well, that wasn't really my cup of tea. So I'll go back to my original stuff and I'll just stick with that stuff because I didn't really care for the movie. No big deal. No harm, no foul. What difference does it make? Because whether you make a movie or whatever, it doesn't change the book. I mean, the book's still there. So, to me, it sounds very much like a gatekeeping type deal. Yeah. Where it's like, you know, you don't make a movie because I don't want new people to discover this and come in, because books are great, great bridges to literacy, right? Lots of people watch a movie they enjoy and then they'll say, oh, I really like that, so I'm going to go read the book, or I'm going to go do this and do that, because that happens all the time, and that's a positive. That's a good thing. And, so. I don't know. Sounds a little gatekeeping to me. I don't dig that. It's not my thing. So just, you know, get your thumb out of your ass and quit being assholes, people. I mean, just come on. If they want to make a fucking movie and they pay for the rights and the creator is going to let them do it, let them make the fucking movie. And if you don't like it, you know what? Don't watch it. Just read the book and, let other people have the movie if they want it. And it's okay. They can both coexist. They can both exist. And guess what? We're all going to get up the next morning. The world's going to still be spinning and all's going to be well. It's not life or death.
Yeah. So, and honestly, I feel like a lot of, I don't know. I feel like a lot of my hot takes do sort of revolve around the, you know, gatekeeping's not so great. Like, just let people do their things, but like also like you can still enjoy things. And I just feel like that's such a weird thing to have so many different opinions on, but it's like, I just see it so often, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
You know, not to dwindle on it too much here, but it's just, yeah, you just gotta go with the flow, man. You know, if it's a bad movie, then you watch it once and there's no harm, no foul. Maybe one day they'll pick it up and start again. You never know.
Yeah, and you know, yeah, we do sidetrack into that a lot. But to be fair, there are a lot of people out there who, for whatever reason, think because they're a fan, they have some form of ownership or jurisdiction over these stuff. And it's just not the fact. You can be the biggest fan of something in the world, but if it's not your product, you get no say. And, well, actually, okay. I'll backpedal. You do have a say with your dollar.
Yeah.
Right. If you like the book and you don't like they're making the movie, don't watch the movie. Don't go give them your dollar. Therefore, you have voiced your opinion. So be it. But you can't control what everybody else says and what they enjoy and what, you know, it's just the get off it, man. It's just, again, all of it is just make believe, right? It's just enjoyment and entertainment. Like what you want to like and quit worrying about everything else. And, you know, and I get it, right? I have properties that I'm like, there's parts of it I'm like, oh God, why did they do that? It's like, I'm ashamed that that's part of something that I like, but. You know what? I don't lose sleep over it. And, I can respect the fact that there are other people out there who may love that part of it. And all right. That's so be it. We're all entitled to our own opinions. Contrary to what people think, opinions are not facts. So.
Yeah.
Get off it.
True. Get off your high horse, bruh.
Lord. All right. So, let's take a break. And we'll back out of our gatekeeping bitching mode that we get into sometimes. And we'll come back with news, anniversaries, and all that good stuff. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spreading the news. Welcome back with the news. All right, let's jump right into the news. I stole that from Keemstar. I think that's how he does his videos. You know who Keemstar is, Dave?
No.
He's some like new internet news personality, I think. He's controversial, so I'm not going to talk about him too much. But
No, but here, let me sidebar for just 1 second here. We're going into the news. You talked about internet something or other. Right, when I research for the notes and I'm looking up celebrity birthdays, right, I go to a few different sites just to, you know, because some have some people and others don't. One that I go to always has a slew of like YouTube personalities, like people they call online personality, YouTube personality, whatever else. And yeah. I'm scrolling through this thinking, who the fuck are these people? I'm like, I'm not bitching about it. I'm not saying anything bad about it. It's just like, wow. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
He's like, who are some of these people?
Yeah, it does get a little dicey because, you know, I feel like as a society, we've evolved a little bit to like, who do we include as famous people? And yeah, internet personalities do get grouped in there. And I'm a little lost myself sometimes. I'm like, I have no idea who these people are. I'm getting old. But yeah, it's not Keemstar's birthday, at least as far as I know. So anywho, all right, starting us off with the news, we have some pretty cool news about our very favorite Art the Clown. Steamboat Willie horror film Screamboat has cast David Howard Thornton to play the mouse. It is described as a group of New Yorkers are on a late night ferry ride that turns deadly when a mischievous mouse begins a rampage, targeting unsuspecting passengers. The movie is set to debut in theaters in 2025. So our boy David Howard Thornton, also known as Art the Clown, is getting some more work. He's getting his paycheck paid. He's getting that cashola, if you will. Obviously, we're super excited about this. We love the creations of these cartoons turned into horror films, and David Howard Thornton will do it justice. I just know it.
Yeah. We love the public domain stuff, and then with him in it, and he's talked about online. He's lived in New York for quite a while. He is now officially moving to L.A. So hopefully we're going to see him in a lot more work. And part of it is him moving his, he's in this movie, right? This movie is filming out west. So hopefully with him being out in the L.A. area, we're going to see him in even more stuff in the future. But I love that he's doing this kind of stuff, man. He's playing, the mouse, we don't want to say Mickey Mouse, but Mickey Mouse, Art the Clown, the Grinch, all those, he's in that Stream movie coming up. I love that he's playing these kind of things, and so cool. So hopefully we see much more from him, but I'm excited to see this one.
Yeah, absolutely. So keep an eye out on our social media. We'll let you know when we find more about Screamboat. All right. The Strangers Chapter 1 is now available on video on demand. Now, there's got some mixed reviews from us here at Listen to Their Scream, so make sure you check out our review of the movie in our archives. We talk about The Strangers a lot. It seems to be kind of like a reoccurring topic just in general, so not much else to say about it other than check it out and see for yourself.
If you haven't seen it, go see it. Whatever. Whatever.
Getting that New York accent. Whatever. All right. Speaking of the Strangers franchise and the trilogy at hand, Chapter 2 is expected to release later this year. The first image from the film has been released. So, we kind of talked about this also during that episode and prior episodes that I had heard that they were going to release the first two films this year and then the third one next year. Yep. This does seem to be the case, so hopefully we get some more content and it changes some opinions about these Strangers.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
All right.
I will hold comment till the chapter 2 comes out.
There you go.
We'll see. I'm not going to be one of those assholes that prejudges something.
There you go. We are practicing what we preach.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me preaching. No, anyways.
Papa, don't preach.
Papa, don't preach. All right. This is some cool news, especially for Dave and I. This is a franchise, right? We both love these movies. Like, there's two of them. But I'm so happy to hear this. I actually saw this on Twitter the other day, or X, or whatever the fuck they call it. The Creep franchise suddenly got very big news. And we're talking about The Creep. Not Creep Show, not Creep this, not Creep that. The Creep. Mark Duplass, who plays The Creep in both the other films, he basically came out with Patrick Bryce, and they said, hey, we've wrapped production on The Creep Tapes, a television series, which is an expansion of the Creep film franchise. So they just kind of dropped that on us, just a little mic drop. No release date on this yet, or like what platform or how this is going to be released. But historically, the other two Creep movies, I believe, were Blumhouse films that were kind of like their independent sector. And a lot of Blumhouse stuff goes to Max. So if I had to waver a guess, Netflix or Max will probably see this before other services do.
Yeah, I whatever. I don't care. Just get it. It was pretty cool because they dropped like a little teaser clip thing, right? Something out there, and everybody's like, oh, are we finally going to get an announcement about like a third movie or something? Oh, this is great. And then it was like 2 or 3 days later, they're like, oh, by the way, we're doing a TV series. It's called The Creep Tapes. Oh, and by the way, yeah, we've already done it. Production's wrapped. We've already filmed the thing. So it's coming. It's like, boom. It's like, oh, I love it. I cannot wait. I love those movies. Love them. I cannot wait to see this. Just keep bringing it. Give me the Creep content.
There you go. Bring it. Bring Mark Duplass being spooky and killing people.
Mm-hmm.
But makes me want to rewatch the other movies, so keep an eye out for that.
Always a good thing.
True. Very true. All right. Moving on to some upcoming birthdays. We have some very Scream-related birthdays today.
Yes.
Starting us off first, June 15th, 1964, Courtney Cox, also known for her other series that she's done, but specifically she's Gail Weathers in the Scream series.
Yeah, yeah, she was in Scream. I heard she did all right in some TV series. I don't know what that was, but
something about buddies or pals or something.
Yeah, I think it was called Amigos or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. But yeah. But in this case. Don't get me wrong. I do like Friends, but in this case, I mean, she's Gail Weathers. That's what we focus on here. And, am I wrong? Is she the only character that's appeared in every Scream movie thus far? I don't know who else it would be. So,
yeah, the only other legacy character that lasted as long was Dewey, but he died in,
mm-hmm.
seven, six.
Yes. So with, no Dewey, Sydney, because Sydney's last appearance was Dewey's last appearance. And, but neither of them were in the last film, six or whatever it was.
I always forget how many there are.
Yeah, I think there's six. I think five was just called Scream, but the last one was six, I believe. And the new one's coming out seven. We'll see if no official word about Courtney Cox being in that, but it is strongly rumored she is. So hopefully she can keep that streak alive. And she apparently is the backbone of the franchise.
Clearly. She's been in all of them. That's hilarious. I guess I never realized that, but yeah, she would be the only one. Wow.
But see, it's like, it's her writing, her books, her journalism, her TV. It's always her that's spurning a lot of this on. So.
Something I think tells me if you kill her, the shit will stop happening.
I think it's high time that we make Gail Weathers the killer.
For real.
And that she's doing it just to keep her career going. She's like, well, if there's no ghost face, no killing, what am I going to do? What am I going to write about? What am I going to report? So she's going to have to just take matters in her own hands.
It's like that scene from the Avengers, the end credit scene with Thanos. Fine, I'll do it myself. That's Gail. All right. Anywho, moving on from that, we have another Scream birthday, June 16th, 1955, Laurie Metcalf. She is from Scream 2. She played the role of Debbie Salt. She was the mother of, what was his name? Billy Loomis?
Billy Loomis. Yep.
Yep. Laurie Metcalf is also known for a million other things. She was Mary Cooper in Big Bang Theory, right?
Yep. She's been in a few TV shows herself, right? She was in Big Bang Theory. She was in Roseanne.
Roseanne.
And The Conners. And, I don't know if there's much else behind that, but that's a couple of pretty good TV shows there. That are pretty big TV shows. So she's done all right.
Some longevity there for sure.
Yeah. She's done all right.
I'm thinking so. I don't think she's hurting for money. None of these people are hurting for money, I hope. Anywho, but well, happy birthday, Lori. And it's always funny. Fun little side fact. I love the Young Sheldon series, and her daughter plays Mary Cooper in the Young Sheldon series.
Yep.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yep. Yep.
Like I said, little side note. I love Young Sheldon. I like my horror movies, but I also like Young Sheldon. But anyhow, moving on. Upcoming movie anniversaries: June 13th, 1991, Maniac Cop 2. I've just recently watched the first one a couple months ago, so I've not yet had a moment to see the sequels to that series.
Yeah, you gotta go ahead, complete the trilogy. Even though they're not as good as the original, they're still worthy. And I do love me some Maniac Cop.
There you go. Maniac Cop. And speaking of series, June 16th, 1960, Psycho. Of course, this is sort of what started it all, right? This is sort of the progenitor of the slasher genre in a lot of ways. There's some argument to be whether or not this is more impactful than other films, which I'm not here to argue, but Psycho's great. You know, it's classic. It has its historical right to be the original slasher. So, happy birthday!
Yeah. No matter how you cut it, no matter how you want to argue, irrelevant. It's still an important film. So, no matter what. So, there you go.
There you go. All right. Moving on to June 17th, 1977, The Exorcist 2, The Heretic. I have not seen this. I have heard that's actually not that bad, though. I've heard that the third one's actually pretty good, too, but it has, like, nothing to do with the first two.
I don't remember the third one. I don't remember this one a whole lot. I've seen them, but it's been a while, so I don't know. Can't say much about it.
There you go. Yeah, honestly, it is, again... It's one of those things where, like, I would love to just sit down and, like, watch all the sequels to these movies. But at the same time, like, I always just think back to The Howling and how horrible the sequels were to that movie. So it's just, it gives me some trepidation. Let's just say that.
You can't be afraid to take the plunge, though.
That's true. I eventually always do. I eventually always jump back in. It's just got to dip my toes in the water a little bit.
Yeah, when shit happens, you just got to get back on the bike and ride again.
That's right. All right. Last but not least, June 19th, 1954, Them. I have never seen this film, so I have no idea what it is.
Oh, it's so good. It's about giant ants. So good. And for the time, the effects were pretty well done. I mean, they look pretty good for being a 1954 film, but it's giant ants. Man, it's great. It's just a monster movie, but I very much enjoy it.
I'll have to check it out. I like movies like Eight-Legged Freaks, so I feel like this is kind of like in the same vein.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 50s movie, so definitely whatever else. But for the time, it's not bad. And I'm not saying it's like, award winning, but the effects don't look as hokey as what you would think it would be for a 1954 movie.
I gotcha. Yeah, it's weird because sometimes when you go on these, like, IMDb's, like, these old films don't even have, like, ratings. They're just, like, approved, is what it says. It doesn't even have, like, an actual rating. It's just approved! Because back then they didn't have the MPAA, so.
Yeah. Yeah, they nobody was trying any shit back then.
So for real, though.
It didn't matter.
You're not kidding. They're not kidding. They really, danced that fine line, didn't they?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Approved or not approved. We'll see. Moving on to upcoming releases. First things first, South Korean supernatural film Exhuma, or Exhuma, is coming to Shudder on June 14th. It is described as, "The process of excavating an ominous grave unleashes dreadful consequences buried underneath." You know, Korea produces some pretty wild movies, man, let me tell you. Have you ever watched the movie The Suffering?
No.
So that's a good one. It's I think it's called The Suffering. I'm not sure. I'll have to double check that. But it's on Shudder, but I'm pretty sure it's another Korean film, and it's super fucked up. But yeah, South Korea, they're stepping up their game when it comes to the concept of horror movies, let me tell you.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard some good things about this one, and then it, I'm gonna check it out. Seems promising.
Very good. I'm always willing to check out anything on Shudder/AMC+. Mm-hmm. Very much like it. So, all right, moving on. Another video on demand release. Scream Therapy comes to video on demand on June 18th. It is described as five friends struggling in their lives head to the desert for a girls' weekend of scream therapy. Their vacation takes a turn when they cross paths with a cult of incels who are on a very pressing human sacrifice deadline. So, sounds sort of like a, there was a movie kind of similar to this not too long ago, but I'm having a hard time recalling it. But hey, I'll watch it. Sounds slasher-esque, mixed in with a little bit of human sacrifice. Can't beat that.
Yeah. I'm more intrigued. Is scream therapy a real thing? And what is that? You go somewhere and you scream?
I legitimately think that it's like they take you into like a secluded part of like the woods and stuff, and they like do like vocal exercises, and it's supposed to like de-stress you and stuff.
I don't know. I think it'd just give me a headache.
I was going to say, like, if I talk for too long or like above a certain decibel for too long, like my voice gets raw and I get a headache. So like,
yeah, me
not
too.
For me.
No, I'm completely down to one of those things where you go in a room and just they give you like a hammer and goggles and you just trash stuff. I'm totally down for that. That sounds de-stressing to me.
Yeah, rage rooms.
Yeah, is that what they are? I can totally get on board with that.
Yeah, I there's actually one around here where I'm at. I don't know what it's called, but yeah, it's like a rage room. They give you stuff to like just break, and like you can pay for like really cool stuff to break. Like you can, you know, like those big printers that like office buildings have.
Oh yeah.
You can pay to like get one of those, and you can just beat the shit out of it. I was like, that sounds kind of fun.
Yeah, I think I'd be down for some of that. That sounds intriguing.
True. But you got to be careful. You don't want to like throw out your back, and I would probably hurt myself. Like,
I've got neck problems and everything else, so I would go into it like and come out like feeling worse than when I went in. That'd be my luck. This is supposed to be therapeutic, and then I come out like feeling 10 times worse than when I went.
Well, I just the other day, and this is a fun fact. Just the other day, I accidentally gave myself like a blood blister because I was trying to open up like a. We went to the beach, and the people I went with, they had like a little like what are they called, like little tent things. They're not a tent, like an awning. Uh-huh. And like I was having a hard time opening it, and like I gave myself a blood blister because my hand got pinched, but I also pulled a muscle in my shoulder. So like for like the last couple days, like I've been, when I go to bed at night, my shoulder just hurts. So I'm like, It's a struggle.
Yep. Day to day, trying to get through without hurting yourself. That's the goal.
That's right. That's when you know you're old, when you just pull a muscle just trying to exist.
Yep.
Anyway.
Story of my life.
Before we get too depressed, guys, make sure you're following us on social media. You know what I mean? We talk about all this all the time. We joke about it, but for real, follow us on social media. Not only does it help us out, it helps you out. Because you get to keep up to date with all the updates and the releases and the news articles and everything else. So, not saying that we're like, you know, Google, but like we're essentially like Google, but more fun.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots that's more fun than Google. But
true. Google can't say fuck. I can't.
No, we're more kind of like the Ask Jeeves or something. It's, you know.
We're like Cha-Cha. Do you remember Cha-Cha?
Yeah. We're that weird out there kind of search engine. It's like You're like, I don't use Google. I use Cha-Cha or whatever. Like, okay, cool.
Where you text it and you get like an answer back or whatever.
It's like, hey, you use that and miss out on like 75% of the shit out there, but go ahead.
True. But good shit. Love Cha-Cha. Haven't used it in decades. I don't know if it still exists, but I'm going to look that up after we're done today. Anywho, before we get too far down that rabbit hole, when we come back, we will have our official review of Frogman. Stick around.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/WrasslePod. That is linktr.ee/RASSLEPOD. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
All right, we're back here on Listen to Their Screams. It is review time, and we are reviewing Frogman, which is now available on Screenbox, written by Anthony Cousins and John Carsco, directed by Anthony Cousins, starring Nathan Timashuk, Biddy Barrett, and Chelsea Grant. This movie was one of those, if you heard us last week, we had thought we might do The Watchers, and then we watched, if you listened last week, I watched Frogman, a screener link, and I was like, oh, let's do Frogman. And I'm glad we did, because there's not going to be a whole lot to say here. I love this movie. This is yet another one of those movies that, that turned me on found footage. Found footage is still one of those things that I go into with a little trepidation, because it's like, okay, am I going to get the kind of found footage that I like or the found footage that I don't like? And this one was so on the side that I like. It wasn't even close. I love the formatting of it. The way they did it, you know, makes sense. And they did something that is, it's really hard to do in found footage. And it's something we talked about when we did Life of Bell, and we talked with Sean Robinson, something that he did well is it's hard in a found footage film to get good character development. It just seems sometimes it's hard, whether it be the pacing, the editing, the cutting, that whatever it might be, it just seems like it's hard. But this movie was spot on, right? You knew these characters, you felt for these characters, you knew what the struggles were, the situations between the characters, the tensions between the characters, the history. They really gave you that sense right off the bat. It worked the way they did it. They went back to the old, you know, the tried and true, you know, a guy's trying to do a documentary type thing or whatever else, but they put a little kick behind it, because this guy had a childhood experience that spurned him on to want to do this, because basically what he was trying to do, he was a filmmaker who hadn't had any success, right? Just made some low budget stuff that didn't do anything, but he had often been kind of ridiculed or whatever for his quote unquote childhood sighting of Frogman, right? Been written off of, you're just a kid, you don't know, blah, blah. He was convinced he saw this. He knew he saw it, and he got to the point of, you know what, I'm going to combine these two. I'm going to make a film, and I'm going to document it, and I'm going to prove that Frogman is real. And again, I'm not going to spoil everything, because, man, a whole lot develops. But he gets so much more in this process in the end than what he anticipated. But I love how this film touches on so many things, because if you've ever been on a road trip, right? And when I take a road trip, I like to, you know, I know interstates are the fastest way, but a lot of times I like to go, you know, highways and stuff, right? Because that's, you see stuff. And if I'm not on a time restraint or I'm going somewhere or, you know, on a short trip or whatever, you like to take these highways, right? And sometimes you go through towns that are known for something peculiar, right? And they have it on their sign, they advertise it. There's a town in, it's either Virginia or West Virginia, one of the, I think it's West Virginia, that's known for Mothman, right? And they have a museum, and it's on their billboards and all this and that. And there's things like that with local legend, local folklore, and everything else that is so tied to these towns that they market it, right? They're like, okay, let's just embrace this, and let's try to help the town with this. And this movie totally does that, right? Where they're cashing in on Frogman. Everything's frog this, frog that. I love how they tap into that side of it. But then show that there's a whole nother layer beyond that. But man, this movie was so enjoyable. It was so fun. I don't really have a lot of complaints. I truly don't. It was so much fun to watch. And I was just absolutely so impressed with this movie. If you go on Screambox, it's their number one most viewed movie right now for good reason. Everybody online is talking about it. And, I don't want to spoil. I hate talking about stuff before it happens because I'm afraid it's gonna, you know, it will jinx it. We do have a planned interview with director Anthony Cousins and writer Anthony Cousins. And I do feel like, I know we've planned out some of our questions already for him, but I do feel that we need to ask Anthony, what is it? What's the inspiration behind Frogman Fucks? And because this has become a little bit of a social media sensation where even at one point, I'm pretty sure Screambox themselves was using the hashtag Frogman Fucks.
No.
A great part of this movie.
So, funnily enough, I heard that, and I can kind of explain it a little bit because it's sort of like a meme. So, a couple years ago, it was like, if you said something fucks, it was like that it's really cool, that it's awesome, that it, you know, that it's like, that was kind of like a meme, like, oh man, that's the fucks, you know. But then it also can just mean that, like, you know, it's a way of saying that they get ladies. Like, oh man, that dude fucks. Frogman fucks. I mean, you're just going to have to watch the movie to understand the full context around that. But, that's
I think it's a little more, well, maybe it's a play, right? It's a play on words, but I think it's a little more literal in this movie with what the guy's saying. But it's very much great. It's a very, very funny scene. And, I love it, but I feel like when we talk to him, which again, I hate bringing stuff up before it's in the bag, because I'm always afraid it's going to jinx and something will happen. But if we do hopefully get to talk to him, like what's scheduled and on the books, I feel like we at least have to ask him about the genesis of Frogman Fucks and what his thinking was behind it.
Yeah. And if he can give me a t-shirt that says Frogman Fucks, that'd be a great question too.
Yeah. That's the thing. I did see online that they had some Frogman shirts that they at least once upon a time. And I totally need a Frogman shirt now. And, I know that, you know, they had lots of merchandise in the movie. That's what they need to do. Just make some of that merchandise. And, I'm all about it. So, but, I am a total fan of Frogman, and it's ironic. I guess it has to be said that, it's ironic that I love this movie so much because I absolutely hate frogs. Hate them. Disgusted by them. I think they're slimy little vile creatures. They disgust me. They give me ugh. Hate them. But I love Frogman. So there you go.
Oh man. All right. Well, let me give my two cents here before you get too crazy on the Frogman fucks and loving Frogman. So that's going down a weird rabbit hole. I don't want to know where that ends. So Dave's gonna have over here a shrine to Frogman pretty soon. So
wouldn't it be going down a frog hole?
Yeah, for real though, you're not joking. So speaking of frog hole, so a couple things. First and foremost, love the movie. I watched it, and it was one of those movies that, like, you started out strong, but I was very worried that it was not gonna pay out. Like, it was not gonna have the appropriate payout that I thought it was gonna have. That's like that's a lot of movies these days that they have a pretty good, you know, structure. They have a good basis to start with. But it just doesn't pay out. The payload is not there, and it's just, yeah. So the good news is that it did pay off. There was a massive payoff at the end, and I'm not going to ruin it for people who haven't seen it. But the movie pays off in a fantastic way. It does sort of tie it off in a way. But as I understand, there is a sequel in the works.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And even at the end of the film, it says Frogman will return.
Yeah. It is 100% verified via their announcement and their social media that, yes, there is going to be a Frogman 2.
Very good. But, one of the great things about this movie is that, you know, first and foremost, you know, as it being found footage, it is a very realistic found footage movie. As in, once again, that it did not fall for the fatal flaw of these people have 100 different cameras and this, that, and the other. There's typically, I think there's only two points of view. There's the handheld camcorder from like the 90s that he originally caught Frogman on. And then there's the iPhone cameras, I believe, that were sprinkled in there occasionally for other shots. It's pretty straightforward. I mean, it makes sense. Camera angles were great. The scenery was great. The locations that they shot at were great.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, before we get too far away from the camera work. Yeah. One thing I loved about the camera work is during some of the really high action, high intensity scenes, the camera work was very chaotic and very, because that's what it would be, right? If you are encountering a scenario and you're have a camera and you're recording, it's not like you're going to be running and screaming and fearing for your life and your well-being, but yet you're holding that camera steady to get the great shot, right? It's going to be chaotic. That camera's going to be all over the place. You're going to be slinging it around because it's in your arms, and it's going to be almost a little, it's going to make you dizzy because of it. And this, I felt like this movie really captured that well of keeping in mind the context of the scene and what the camera shot would be. And not just saying, okay, we have to do this because we have to capture something. They're like, no, people know what's happening. They get what's happening, but we have to make it believable that this is what the camera would capture in this scenario. And I think they did a really, really good job of that.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And that's absolutely a great thing, a great catch, a great find, because you think about it. If you were in this situation, you were filming or you happen to be filming something, it is not going to be a steady cam. You're not on a dolly. You know what I mean? It is 100% it's going to be a very actiony, a very shaky, a very motion heavy shot. And like you said, it was just very realistic, you know, despite, you know, the potential context of the film, it was a very realistic depiction or filming action. And in addition to that, one of the great things I thought that they did in this movie that a lot of found footage movies do fail to do is they do set a very, very believable precedent for why they are trying to find the Frogman. You know what I mean? You kind of mentioned it that, you know, he caught him on film as a child, and he kind of wants to be able to do that now. It's very much one of those things where a lot of times these found footage for movies don't give that, you know, exposition where it makes sense. You know what I mean? Sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, like it kind of brings me back to like the Blair Witch. You know, the Blair Witch Project had a very, very clear reason why these people were in the woods.
Yeah.
The Frogman movie had a very clear reason why and a very believable reason why they would be trying to find the Frogman in this area. So absolutely. I mean, the acting was great.
And the other two characters did a great job.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't their mission, but these guys had been friends for so long. It's like they felt sorry for their friends. Like, okay, right. You know, we'll go with him. We'll help him do this. One last hurrah for our little friend group. Because I think the one friend was going to move away to pursue her acting career. And they're like, we'll go. But then there was like instances through it where they were almost kind of laughing at him behind their back because they're just there to have fun and hang out and, you know, get drunk in the hotel room and just, and he's very serious about his goal and what he's trying to achieve. And they have a different mindset of it. So there's, you know, it catches things where they're like, you know, like kind of almost chuckling behind his back. In the way that friends do. So it was, again, the character development was really well done, given the format of the film.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And
like you said, I mean, everything about it, the exposition, why they were there, why those people were there, like you said, it just made sense. It was great. And a lot of times these, you know, independent films, found footage films, or even big motion pictures, they don't have that level of exposition. That makes it make it make sense. You know what I mean? And that's what this movie did. It made it make sense. And without going into too much detail, some of the effects were pretty great too. And, you know, the end of the movie had a lot of twists and turns, and I loved it so much. So I was very, very pleasantly surprised by this movie. I went into it, and when I was done with it, I had that same feeling when we watched the other film, Life of Belle. Mm-hmm. I had that similar feeling of, like, fulfillment from watching the movie. I was like, you know, this actually kind of fulfilled, like, that itch on my brain for found footage movies. It scratched the itch, and it was very nice. I very much enjoyed it. I'm trying to get Kayla to watch it because I feel like she would low-key like it. She likes found footage movies, so I think she'd like it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this is a fun one, right? And there's a lot of you know, I think across the board appeal because, you know, people like, you know, monster type movies, creature type movies. There's some of that here, and you know, that would kind of tap into that a little bit. And if people like the urban legends and things like that, it kind of taps into that vein a little bit with this. And it's just, you know, it really pulls from a lot of stuff that is out there. And, you know, it's just really well done. Really, it's a nice approach without being over cluttered, over complicated, right? They didn't make it so convoluted and complicated that you just can't figure out what's going on. It's very to the point, very simple, right? You know, it happens all the time, right? People at some point in their life think they saw something, and it establishes a mindset for them, right? Yes, I believe in this creature. I believe in this being. I believe in UFOs. I believe in ghosts because I saw this and I know what I saw. And, they can't be told otherwise. And, if they had that avenue, had that opportunity, they would attempt to prove themselves right too, so that they could shove it in the face of everybody in the world and laugh at them. And that's kind of what this guy's trying to do, right? He's trying to, you know, all these people said this and that about him, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to prove them wrong. And just the whole thing was great. I thought it was well done. It didn't go necessarily the direction that I anticipated, not in a bad way either, because I thought it would go in a very much more predictable route, really, is where I thought it would go as it started. You know, I thought it would just be this really predictable little road, and that would be that. And it didn't, right? It made it very, very clever. And again, I very much enjoyed it. If all found footage movies were like this, were like Life of Bill, were like Dead Space, were like, you know, Blair Witch, I would love all found footage. So if they could just all do this, I'd be on board. So. But it's movies like this which leave me open to watching them and hoping for these. So well done. And again, I very much look forward to our discussion in the future with Anthony Cousins coming up a little over a week. We've got that in the book, so it'll be dropped as a bonus episode in the near future. Knock on wood, nothing happens. You know, everybody can make the scheduled date. So I look forward to that. Let's rate this sucker, Isaac. What are you giving it out of 5 screams?
You know, I gotta do it. Gotta give it credit where credit's due. You know, it's based on enjoyability, and a lot of the things about this film was enjoyable for me. Believe it or not, giving it a 4 out of 5.
Woo! High praise. Well, you know me, I'm a little more stingy with my 4s, but I'm giving it a very, very strong 3.5. And if I could go to 3 3/4, I would even do that. I'm a little more stingy with my 4s, but it's not that far out of my realm of believability. That would be a 4 movie. You know, it's just, I don't know. I just, for whatever reason, there's like this, I don't know what it is. There's like this glass ceiling, not to misappropriate a term there. that with my 4 ratings, and I don't know why that is, but a 3.5 is that's pretty good for me. So a 3.75 average for us. Well deserved. This movie is tons of fun. And again, even if you're not a fan of found footage films, because I've never been particularly what you would call a found footage fan. This movie is still enjoyable and still a really, 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 really fun watch. Not only that, but there's a a very cool song in it by a band called Frog Lord. And what's funny is I kind of tried to do a little research. There's not a whole lot out there per se, but Frog Lord, the band, is a whole separate entity from this movie. It's not like this was something that was just conceived or put together to do a song for this movie. No, no. There's a whole other thing called Frog Lord. They've got material out there that's frog related. Now, not to say I don't know that there's not ties, any ties from that creative unit to this creative unit. I couldn't find that much information. But, you know, sometimes with independent films, you know, a bunch of people just get together, put a band name together just to record a song for the film. That's not what this was. It does not appear. But I think the song is just called Frogman. It is out there on streaming platforms, on Spotify and everything else. It's the song that's at least played at the end. I don't know if it was played at the beginning. It's pretty catchy. Makes you chuckle. So, you know, on top of everything else, it has turned the world onto the band known as Frog Lord. So there you go. Again, I still hate frogs. The frogs in this kind of entertainment avenue, I'm down for. So there you go. Much like I hate turtles, but I love Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I'm a wacky dude like that. So there you go. But again, fun movie. Go watch it. It is on Screambox. Yet another reason that you all should be subscribing to Screambox. There's probably a good chance if you're listening to this that you are. But if you're not, it's well worth whatever it is. It's not that much to subscribe to it. It's not that much to subscribe to Shudder and AMC Plus. And there's just a wealth of movies and entertainment stuff out there to watch. This included, I mean, with Screambox alone, you can watch this. You can watch Life of Bale. You can watch The Terrifiers because those are, you know, Screambox has got a hand in those productions. So that alone, man, that's worth a subscription right there.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, not to mention all the other stuff. So if you haven't already, go do it and go watch Frogman. I love it. I can't wait for Frogman 2 now.
I know. Frogman 2, Electric Boogaloo.
That's right. Come on. I so want some movie to do a play on that title.
And
I'm sure somebody has, but come on. Let's do it. It's obvious. It's a softball. Go ahead and hit it out of the park. Don't try to be too clever. Just go with the obvious there. But again, if you watch the little social media clip where they announce Frogman 2, it is kind of humorous. It has the actors from from Frogman, and they're kind of pitching movie titles for Frogman 2. It is pretty funny. So it is well worth a watch. It's humorous. It's on all their social media out there, which not sure what it is. I believe the what is the company called? Production company. Rotten. Man, I should know this. Rotten something. I have looked this up numerous times here recently, and I should know what this is. Give me 2 seconds. I've got it right here. It's Rotting Press.
There we go.
Yeah, it's one of the production companies involved in this. So go check them out on social media and watch that clip. So there you have it. So next week, we're going to circle back around and we're going to go ahead and we're going to watch The Watchers. Just wrap your mind around that black hole there that'll suck you in. There wasn't a whole lot else coming out. Nothing new really on there. So we thought, hey, well, there we go. We didn't have to make a decision after all. We'll just do them both. So next episode, we are going to review The Watchers, which was released in theaters on June 7th. So go to your theater and watch that and be prepped for our review. So Ike, before we close this out and get out here, any last words you want to throw in?
The croak is no hoax. That's the tagline for Frogman. There you
great.
Go.
That's great. It's great. I haven't chuckled at taglines and stuff since we, you know, gobble, gobble, motherfucker, back when we did Thanksgiving, which was literally about the only redeeming quality of that movie. All apologies to the people that made that movie. But yes, I love Frogman, and that tagline, "The croak is no hoax," it's just, I saw that too on IMDb, and that's great. Love it. So ribbit to all the Frog fans out there.
Amen.
Let's go with it. Apparently, not only have they turned me around on found footage, apparently somehow they've mildly turned me around on frogs. That's what a world we live in. there you have it. Anyway, next episode, we are reviewing The Watchers. Until then, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.